This is The Spark. I'm Martha Wittrin. If life is what happens to you while you're making other plans, Broadway's Marjorie Nofsinger's reinvented professional life as an illustrator certainly, pardon the pun, illustrates this. Marjorie and I met at some WMRA event and got to talking about how she was tooling along, minding her own professional business, raising children, thinking of herself mostly as a middle school counselor who had once studied art in college. However,
even when I wasn't doing art, I saw things in terms of light and shadow and colors and variety and details. I always have felt like at heart I was an artist, whether I was making art or not. Of course, a lot of the reasons for not doing it, you know, I could chalk off to a family being raised and all those other kinds of things. But, you know, who's to know whether that was real reason or part excuse? I allow that both could have been a part of it. But in my counseling piece, the arts are, I always leave a door open for them. Because of the school counseling I do, I am not doing so much in the clinical sphere as one would in a more clinical setting. But I also find that when I teach art, it sort of helps give me a window into understanding my students in other ways, especially in the middle school level. It's just really a priceless combination. Art is often autobiographical in nature, and it, you know, what it says about the person who's making it.
After years of being an intermittently active artist, Marjorie Nofsinger was asked by her daughter, author Rosanna Nofsinger Henderson, to illustrate two books, Lost Art of Real Cooking, published in 2010, and The Lost Art of Hearth and Home, which is just out.
I have always enjoyed seeing and bringing to life art in ordinary, everyday kinds of things. The themes of her books, well, in some ways, the apple didn't fall far from the tree in some of them. And so they involve things that some of them are very familiar to me and that I know how to engage artistically. Others are new, things that I have not done or have not been a part of my life. But still, you know, it's part of the creative process with somebody in my family. And that I can hardly tease out from it.
How did you come to collaborate with your daughter, who is a writer?
It's a story I like to tell. When I have three sisters, and we, as often as our separate locations and lives allow us, we try to get together at least once a year, oftener if we can, for a sister's time. And one year, a sister who lives not far from Chicago had us all out at her place and took us to Chicago to have us visit her favorite places. And because my sisters are also artistically inclined, we had spent the morning in a Utrecht art sale store, and I saw they had a sale on pens and ink paper and things like that. I thought, oh, I haven't had these for a while. I think I'm out. I think I'm going to pick up a few of these. And so all of us, I don't know how long we spent there. We lost time in that quest. But then we came to a cafe for lunch, and while I was there, I got this call from my daughter. And I knew she was doing a collaboration with another author on this book and wondered if I would have any interest in doing illustrations. And I said, you wouldn't believe what I've just picked up, what I've just bought at an art store, because she described that she wanted ink drawings for this process. And then I couldn't believe the level of joy I felt that stirred up in me. It was something that never really entered my mind, you know, to have her approach that like that and to say, would you like to be a part of this process? And of course, there was only one answer. And
no hesitation.
No hesitation.
Even though you were not Marjorie Nofsinger illustrator yet.
Oh, no. No, yeah. She knew my drawings.
Yeah.
She knew what I could do, and she knew what they wanted for the book. And I had done sort of as a gratis project years and years and years ago, I had done some illustrations, ink drawings for another outfit, and she was aware of those too. And so I was asked, I said, well, she goes, ultimately, it's not my choice, as is typical in the publisher's world. But she goes, there would be openness to you if you would submit a portfolio. And so I sent the portfolio.
Did you have it or did you have to create it?
Oh, I had to go home and I had to pull it out of here and pull it out of there. And I sent about maybe 15 or 16 pieces.
You were hired.
And I was hired.
What was the collaboration like?
The first book that she and her co-author wrote is The Lost Art of Real Cooking.
Mm-hmm. which is a lovely book.
And the second book just came out to the public, is The Lost Arts of Hearth and Home. And so I was involved in both of those projects. And I loved the collaboration because it was sort of a multi-way street between the editor, between her co-author, between me. Each one of them had certain sections of the book they were responsible for. They would work with me individually about what they wanted. If it was something I was totally unfamiliar with, they would send a series of images for me to work with so that I could come up with a drawing that would represent the best aspects of any of those images.
For example, what's an image that you were not familiar with?
How to roll out dolmas.
Okay.
I have not rolled out dolmas, and they wanted a three-stage process. And so,
do you think we should say what a dolma is?
A dolma is a grape leaf that has a certain kind of filling in it. Sometimes the grape leaves are fresh. I've also had them when they in fact, I actually had the experience of making them with my daughter for a book event much later, but where we used the pickled grape leaves. But anyway, they were filled with some kind of filling. It might be rice-based or something like that. And then, you know, you would put this piece in, then you would turn the ends in.
And
then
that's the first
picture.
That's
the first one. And then the second one shows the actual rolling up process. And then the third picture shows how it looks completely sealed off.
And what went into creating this drawing? You know, I'm sitting here looking at it. It is absolutely clear what you're doing, but it's also a very pleasing drawing that looks as though it just happened. But
well, I had, because it was an unfamiliar process, I had a series of images to work with where there were hands rolling the dolmas.
Okay.
It wasn't extracted out of the air. I had some basis to go on because it was an unfamiliar process to me. Unlike, for example, drawing a well-seasoned skillet, which I had hanging up in my kitchen.
So what's the process in creating this drawing? Do you do it in pencil? I mean, how do you, what's the technique?
Well, first of all, I'm given a certain finished size that it will probably be. This would be called a spot drawing, and these are three spot drawings, but they're all just, they were in the book, they were not, this is a framed print, and so they're shown all together. In the book, they would have maybe been on a couple different pages or something like that with a text. But my spot drawings were, I usually made them within a 3-inch square. This has been enlarged. And then I would do a very, very light pencil guiding just to establish where certain things would go. But I would do the rendering in pen. And
hope. From the get-go. So you're not drawing over pencil stuff. You are drawing with pen.
I have, like, for example, the shading and things like that are all pen. But I would have drawn in a very faint hand formation, leaf formation. But then the development of the details would have all been done with the pen and ink.
So if you make a mistake, it's toast.
You do it again.
Okay. Did you think I'm a professional illustrator?
That took some practice.
To think that.
To think in those terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because?
Well, most of my artwork has been done gratis, for one thing. But this was for real. And
you were being paid.
I was being paid. And that was calling me to a whole nother, not that I always never did. I mean, I always did my best, but I was after something that could qualify as something more professional. I was after something that was so much my best that I would be asked to do it again.
And you were.
And I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the second book?
The second book was The Lost Arts of Hearth and Home.
Hearth and Home, which has just been published.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When did the first book come out? This is
July 2010.
Okay. So this is a sort of reinvention of yourself that's going on here. Mm-hmm. Marjorie Nofsinger, professional illustrator.
I know. I don't find myself saying that to people. Well, I often, of course, it's easy to say what I do in the school, but then there are occasions, depending on who I'm with or where I am, to say, and I also am an illustrator. And something in me just says, are you now?
Advice alert, get some business cards.
Well, I'll tell you how behind the times I am. I only just now got business cards for my other job, so it might be.
Well, get on it.
It might be a little while before I, but yes, advice well taken.
Okay, the difference in process, these books were done fairly close together. Did the process change?
No, it didn't. It didn't change. You know, and in some ways, I knew what to expect the second time around.
Was that pleasant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved working with our editor. I loved working with...
Now, why? What did you like about that editor? Because people fuss about editors.
Well, I know I've heard people fuss about editors,
yes,
but I had nothing to fuss out about this one. I mean, she was very responsive. She was very encouraging. She loved my art. She had flexibility. For example, in the second book, when I knew that I was going to be involved, I kept thinking, okay, when am I going to hear from them? Because the first book, I felt like I was having to get shoehorned in a certain amount of time. At the same time, I was already back in school. I had hoped it would come in the summer, but it didn't. And it came with school starting up. And also, I was spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania because my mother was dying. And I was helping out with family members.
Sorry about that.
And this was back with the first book. And so I just, you know, kept thinking, man, how's this all going to fall together? Well, I'm happy to say, to make a long story short, it did fall together very, very well. In fact, my mother even got to see my drawings to the extent that her limited eyesight allowed her. Very interested in my work. And the second time around, I thought, well, no, I hope this second time I have a little bit more notice so I can budget my time a little bit better. And sure enough, when I was notified to when to begin and the deadline I was given, I thought, whoops, I had already made Christmas plans and they were hoping to have this right after Christmas. But when I presented my case, very flexible editor. And I was able to extend the deadline. And in fact, as it turned out, I was pretty much able to make the original deadline. But it just helped to know I had the breathing space.
Seems like, yeah. Is there a picture in an illustration in the second book of which you find particularly satisfying to
Well, in both books, my title page drawings, which are the largest, are the ones I love the best.
Well, get them out. Let's talk about them, please.
The title page drawings are much larger. In time, they take about six of the others. And that one would be The Lost Art of Real Cooking, which is the pantry, and The Lost Arts of Hearth and Home.
Describe the drawing, please, and then tell me how you did it and constructed it. Okay. I see the well-seasoned skillet there. what was your assignment?
My assignment was to show a pantry. And it wasn't specified, but it was assumed since we're talking about the lost arts of real cooking, it might possibly be nice to have sort of an old-looking pantry that would showcase some of the features of the book. You know, some of the themes that are covered in the book. You know, whether it's the drying, the pickling, the fermenting, the utensils, all that goes into it. So I don't remember whose original idea it was, but it ended up being that both authors, the other authors being Kent Albala, who's a food historian, and Rosanna, my daughter, submitted pictures from their kitchens and pantries and includes my own. So this is a composite of three different places.
What fun and yes. How satisfying.
Yes. So some of it is my own things on the shelves. Some of it is their things from the book and from their kitchen counters, all put into one drawing.
So this is a book in which both authors and the illustrator really have given of themselves and their lives, not just of their talents.
Yes, there's definitely a sense, both I think in the illustrations and in the anecdotes and the descriptions, a certain amount of intimacy. It starts out both books, you know, addressed to the gentle reader, as they did in Days of Yore. This one, you know, Dear Gentle Reader, this other one, the second one, I think has a welcome back kind of theme to it.
Everything about the design of the book, I think, the typeface to your illustrations, well, to me, it all says my grandmother's kitchen.
I think there's some design in that.
Yeah. It's terribly satisfying to look at. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. By now, I'm hopelessly biased. And so, you know, it was very, very satisfying to see what the rest of the publishing team did with it.
Let's talk about the frontispiece to The Lost Art of Hearth and Home.
And this one, as one might not be surprised to hear, the assignment was to have a cooking fireplace kind of setting. And again, I'm not sure who conceived of this idea. I think this was, whereas the pantry was pretty much given to me, this one felt very much more collaborative. What are we going to do for the frontispiece? It wasn't an easy decision. It was more one of the last things that I did.
And it was a team decision?
The suggestions were made. And again, the assignment was, how can I do this in a way that pulls in as many of the topics in the book as possible? And this book, while includes a majority of things that are related to food, it also includes arts like in quilting and rug braiding, sewing, ring making, gourd making, some of the auxiliary kinds of things that would go along with this. So I was totally on my own with the images with this one because I thought, okay, I have a fireplace in mind. Where can I go to sites? And this would be online. Where can I go to sites that show me stonework, show me ancient hearths, So this fireplace is a conglomeration. It is not a one fireplace. It is features that I brought together that I thought would fit the theme of the book.
Back a million years ago when I used to own restaurants that were what I cooked, I would read cookbooks till the cows come home, but I never cooked with a cookbook. It just sort of synthesized, I guess, into whatever I was fixing. And it sounds as though that's the experience that you had with this. You mentioned ring making. Is that rings for the finger?
Yes, yes. And bored sailors on ship. I'm sure there's more to it than this, but making silver rings out of quarters.
Is this essentially a craft book? Is it a how-to? Well, The Lost Art of
House
and Home.
It does, yes, but it's not a how-to in the sense where, as in recipes, you have ingredients, method, blah, blah. You know, it is more anecdotal, but it does give you the basic information that you need to actually get invested in a project. At the same time, it recognizes there are many sources out there to help you with, you know, certain processes. You know, I'm trying to remember, I remember reading in the second book here, one of the authors made a reference to something that they were not going to go into a lot of whatever it was because there were many detailed books on that particular thing. They were sort of giving the big picture and the major framework, but also made allusions to the fact that there are many other good books out there on this theme that would be very useful.
And it sounds like it's a book-length encouragement to...
Well, it's both practical
dive into this.
It's both practical and encouragement.
Did this help you feel like a professional illustrator?
The fact that, well,
book two?
It was very, yes, the fact that I was brought back on board again was very, had to be affirming, and it was. It was very affirming for me. And then what was doubly affirming while I was in the middle of this book was the editor got in touch with me again almost sheepishly and said, I know you have just said how busy you are, but I have this other book that I'm wondering if you would be willing to do some illustrations for. And I understand if you say you're too busy, but I love your work. I would love for you to make a contribution to this book. And it was a completely, you know, not related to either of these two authors.
What was it?
The Curious World of Wine.
Reinvention seems to be taking the place of conventional retirement. Would you buy that?
Well, I would buy that out of desire and also out of necessity. I'm one of the many, many who say, I'm going to have to keep on working at something as long as I am able, period. So if I'm going to have to do that, this would be a very welcome way to do it. I think the thing that I want to say, and I haven't given this any forethought, but I had an artist statement on the back of my prints when I had these prints made of the first book, and it goes like this. Ordinary details of life have never ceased to move my heart and imagination. Play of light and shadow, smells, plant intricacies, quality tools, habits of birds and animals, hanging laundry, raising food, flowers, and children. And these details have crept into my drawings over the years.
Marjorie's artist statement goes on to tell the story of her collaboration with her daughter, to which we've just listened. You'll find Amazon links to the books Marjorie Knopfsinger illustrated for her daughter on the Spark page at WMRA.org. And by the way, the sprightly music you've been hearing is from Charlottesville's Eve Waters CD, My Ship Sailed from China, International Songs and Stories for Kids. There's a link to Eve Waters' website on the Spark page as well.